The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
Yes, D Reddy is with me, the podcaster and cultural commentator. David O'Callaghan as well from the Here and Back Again podcast. Recommendations of what to watch. Well, I hope recommendations for the week ahead, big screen and small. We'll start with something I think you both want to talk about, which is Together. What is this, Dee?
We can talk about it together.
Oh, yeah, oh, very good.
We were sitting close to each other in the cinema.
Not too close.
No.
Well, by the end of the movie,
you didn't meld together, did you?
This is the thing, right? It is a movie that is, I'm going to say, it is to relationships what The Substance was to aging and beauty.
Okay.
It is disgusting.
Is it?
In parts, truly, truly disgusting. Like, I've
seen the poster, and it's like one of the Franco brothers with his lips stuck to his wife.
Yes, and his real life wife. So it's Alison Brie and Dave Franco, and they play a couple who are, I mean, it's probably the most cliched thing about the movie. They're leaving their life in the big city
and moving
to the country where she's taking up a job as a teacher.
Oh,
and
yeah.
He is a struggling musician who cannot drive. So he is kind of housebound unless she can give him a lift to the train station or into town. So that is, I suppose, the first real sign of trouble. There's a lot of talk, I think.
He is whiny, hipster whiny. And I don't mean the drink. I mean, he is socks like. But he's brilliant as a book.
Deliberately so. I have to say, I really enjoyed that part.
Because
so often in films about couples or couple dynamics, the female in the relationship is when it's a heterosexual relationship, obviously, is painted as the whine or the nag or the whatever. And you think it's going that way initially, I think, with Alison Brie. And then there's a shift and that's actually all him. And he's a lot more needy and
band members,
possessive.
You know, they're all the same, really. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
It is really, really, like, I have to say, I thought it was fantastic, but I have a high threshold for gore.
Yeah, sorry, because people listen to go, where's the gore in all this? Sounds like a drama.
Well, you're setting their codependency up for the first 40 minutes.
Okay.
That's what I was going to say. I think there's so much about it, the marketing for this is about it being about toxic relationships or codependency. But I actually think there's a more nuanced theme to it there that is more about the cult of relationships.
Yes.
That we are all victim to and guilty of in our friendships, in our families, and in the kind of culture at large. So that was,
But if just in case you're worried out there, I didn't want to see a rom-com. Oh boy, after about 40 minutes, the gag reflexes start to kick in. I definitely gagged twice, at least.
Yeah, I heard you.
I mean, there's some, like, it is, like in The Substance, like it's pure, like body horror is so cool right now. But I mean, there was some bit you're like, oh no. Oh, they're doing, oh. And you can hear people in the cinema shuffling. The press people just like, oh holy, and there's a lot of that.
And for a small screening, there was a lot of noise.
Yeah. So, but I really, like, it's really dark. It's really funny. I absolutely enjoyed it. But it's, no, like Weapons last week, whereas tell everybody to go see it. This is, you definitely have to be into this because you will run out of cinema if you are not into body horror because it's...
Body horror is a very particular type of horror as well, I think, because it's so intimate and personal in the horror that you're seeing, because you're seeing somebody's own body take the form of your worst nightmares. So, not a date movie, I will say.
Right.
Oh, totally date movie.
Well, I suppose it depends what you're into.
Well, I suppose you don't understand who you're with fairly quickly.
What's the worst date movie you ever went to?
A sausage party?
Sausage? On a date?
Oh, God. It was my idea. I just wanted to see it. Yeah, but I mean, look, if you're both into horror, definitely go see it. But if you're with somebody who gets alarmed by Chekhov's gun in a movie, they're going to be really upset by Chekhov's hacksaw.
Braveheart. Because the girl I was dating at the time was inconsolable when he was, you know, freedom and getting killed. And she, when I say she's a crier, like Claire Danes is nothing on this. And I, they had to come over.
Where's Sally Field?
They didn't.
They had to come over and see if she was all right and was I doing anything because she was crying so loudly.
Oh my God.
And I was like, dude, I'm trying. I'm like, I looked like I was like, you okay? And she's like, and it was, I was like, going, right, I'm just going to go over here. Like body horror, moving away because this is not going to stop. And 15 minutes, she couldn't leave the cinema for 15 minutes. And they had to bring her like Coca-Cola to camera down.
Well, God, if that had happened at Sausage Party, I would have been really worried.
I went to 8mm. Do you remember 8mm?
Oh, yeah.
But I was only in secondary school at the time. So I went with a girl in secondary school to this movie that we didn't realise what it was about, like about snuff. Anyway, it was just, we neither of us were comfortable. It was kind of like, I think we should just go. Let's get out of here. Anyway, Together. Maybe I'll look her up and bring her to Together. There we go. So K-pop Demon Hunters.
Oh,
David.
Yeah.
Huh? So this has been around for a few weeks.
It's about 5 or 6 weeks, but it's just...
We should say Together's in cinemas from Friday.
Yes.
Okay.
And this one is on Netflix. So, yeah, it's been around 5-6 weeks. And the reason we have to talk about it is because what's happened with it is insanity of the highest order. So first things first, it's a animated movie from Netflix and Sony, but straight to Netflix, about Huntrix, who are a K-pop group who actually are demon hunters. And they're faced off against a boy band called the Saja Boys, who are actually demons. And it's all about this kind of... So basically, if you like Buffy, which I love, so the wit of Buffy, the animation of Spider-Verse.
Ooh, wow.
Oh, yeah.
And the most banging tunes you'll ever hear in your life. This is not just for tweens, although they're losing their minds. It's for adults too.
Really?
It is just so funny and captures the whole thing of cult fandom and music and that kind of thing. So what's happened basically is it's obviously became the biggest Netflix animated movie ever. However, since yesterday was the fourth most viewed original movie ever on Netflix, ever.
Wow.
But now it's the second because the figures came out this week.
Yeah.
So that's a beaten Carry On and Don't Look Up. And it's only behind Red Notice. And it still has 38 days left in the what you'd call the premiere window to catch 45 million, which it'd probably do. So this will become the biggest ever original movie for Netflix in the history of Netflix. Like, this is insane. And then the madder thing is that real world-wise, the music has gone mad. So Golden became number one in the US Billboard charts, the Hot 100, last week.
Yeah.
And the last girl band of three or four members to do that was 2001.
Destiny's Child. Mm.
Destiny's Child's Bootylicious. Like,
Tough like, Ass. There's the song.
Absolutely.
Like, that's
so yeah. that's kind of how, and even the, it's passed out black, actual real groups like Blackpink and BTS, it's surpassed them. And I'm putting my money down on Golden to win the Oscar because it is qualified. They had a kind of a short run in cinemas. And they're bringing it back to cinemas, and I've discovered they are going to have it in VU cinemas, in a VU, whatever you want to call it, in Ireland, for a sing-along version on August 23rd and 24th. So bring it on. But if you like all those things like touch points like Buffy and Spider-Verse, get in here. And if you like K-pop,
do you say VU cinemas?
I said VU and then I meant VU.
Yeah, okay.
I've been looking at it.
Definitely felt like he was trying to gloss over.
Yeah.
I'm really
from Stony Batter, you know.
Oh, we get out of the VU cinema.
Yeah. Well, I lived in Newcastle and it was like, oh, we're going to the VU.
That's why she was crying, Dave.
Yeah. He keeps calling it the VU.
We're the big fella in the VU. Oh, anyway, let's move swiftly along.
Yeah, right. K-pop Demon Under, so strong Legend. Recommendations. And that's on Netflix, as Dave says already. It's been there for a few weeks if you haven't seen it. Eddington is in cinemas as well.
Next week.
From next week. So what's this about, Dee?
Well, there's nothing swift about it, I'll tell you that
okay.
much. It's 2 hours, 25 Whoa. Minutes long. And it's a real love letter, I think, from the director, Ari Aster, to classic cinema, to the old school westerns.
Okay.
Of long ago, the New York Times headline for the review actually is Once Upon a Time in Coronavirus, which is great because it kind of says what it does on the tin. But I really do feel, and look, there's a lot I liked about the film and I'll get to that, but I really do feel that this is a classic example of something that would have benefited from a much tighter edit. And yes, I know you're trying to make all these kind of references to beloved films of time gone by, but trust your audience a bit more if you want to make those references, and don't drag it out the way that you have. I love that I dragged that sentence out, but here we are. and that kind of, I feel like I watched three good films instead of one truly great film.
Okay, yeah.
There's quite a lot of tone switching, quite a lot of genre switching, actually. And there would have been such an opportunity there to maybe do a mini series where you switch from different genres
okay.
or different movie references and maybe even character and bring it out over a couple of episodes. But the basic premise of it is it's set in a small town in New Mexico during coronavirus, or as coronavirus is really unfolding, May 2020.
Yeah.
And you have the local sheriff played by Joaquin Phoenix, and then you have Pedro Pascal, who's everywhere at the moment.
Yes.
Playing the town mayor. And Joaquin Phoenix is annoyed at the sort of federal level things that have been placed on the town, people not being allowed to meet in public, masks in the supermarket, all of that.
Okay, yeah.
And so he's pushing back against the mayor and then decides to run against the mayor.
Yeah.
For the new mayoral election, and chaos ensues. I don't want to give too much away.
What do you like about it?
The performances I thought were superb.
Yeah.
Joaquin Phoenix deserves a lot of nominations, at least, and certainly awards for his role in this. He is fantastic. Pedro Pascal as well. Actually, the whole cast, Deirdre O'Connell and I love her, Emma Stone, all brilliant. And they managed to make a film that is a satire about identity politics and conspiracy theory. It really feel grounded in real life and make you feel empathy for these characters, no matter how toxic or awful their behaviour is. So I think that side of it is truly excellent and worth watching for that alone.
Okay. I'm in a Western frame of mind. So just finished 1923. So I need to
jump in really with this. I just, you know, it's one of those things. If we're gonna write love letters to old Hollywood, can we please include the intermission break in that?
Oh, you'd like an intermission on this, would you?
And actually, the film kind of plays out in three acts. Yeah. There would have been a great way to do that.
All right.
That's my take on it.
It's in cinemas from next week.
Yes.
Or you could wait and do your own intermission at home.
You could.
Eventually. But anyway, it is in cinemas
from
next week.
But it's beautifully shot, so it is worth seeing
it
on the big screen.
It lends itself to the big screen. So Dave, then, that is, what was that, Eddington? Nobody 2.
Yeah, speaking
What's Nobody 2?
Nobody 2 is the sequel to Guess What? Nobody. Not Nobody 1, just Nobody. That was out in 2021. So Bob Odenkirk, good old Saul. Connie Nielsen.
Told him where to buy a banana once. Bob Odenkirk.
Did you know?
Yeah.
Stop. Where did you recommend?
A newsagent across the street from where we were in Calgary. But I didn't
Makes
know
sense.
I didn't know who he was. I kind of vaguely recognized, like, I know him from somewhere. And then I was like, did I work with him, I wonder, somewhere? And you know that kind of way.
If it's a famous person, I'll just assume that I've met, like, my brain. And then I kind of smile at them or say something to them and realise, oh, Jesus.
Yeah, we were in a queue for Starbucks and he was wondering to buy fruit. And I said, no, there's a news agent. They don't have any here, but that place across there has. And,
and
it was about 6 months later, someone beside me here was looking up some Breaking Bad related story. And I said, oh, I know that guy. I told him where to buy a banana,
I thought you were going to say you followed him and took his banana skin. But
exactly,
a different story.
Anyway, sorry.
So he's without a banana. Well, does he have a banana? No, he doesn't. So he's back.
He'd want to have eaten it by now. It was about seven or eight years ago.
So he's back with this one. And the new additions are Colin Hanks and Sharon Stone. So basically, there's no point in even telling you, forget the plot. This is 89 minutes. It is pure violence, comic book violence, dumb ass action, just nonstop. Sharon Stone is literally hamming every scene. She's chewing ham and cheese. Oh, it's all in there. She's running amok. And I mean, if there's even 10 seconds where you're like, oh, why is this? Why does this exist? Then they go, oh, this is why. And someone gets punched in the face, gets their knee broken and shot dead. It is 90 minutes of why you just go to the cinema to watch nonsense like this? And there's nothing else I can say about it except the fact that they're all great. Bob Odenkirk is fun. Like, again, Bob Odenkirk as an action hero doesn't make any sense.
Yeah,
nothing about this movie or franchise makes sense. But it's the people behind John Wick, and
okay,
when they get it right, they get it right. Yeah. And this is just a bit of crack for a Friday night. This is a perfect date movie with all your mates. But you know what I mean? It's just great crack and it's just ridiculous.
All right. Nobody Simple 2 in cinemas as well from Friday. In cinemas from Friday. In cinemas from Friday. You've got a Netflix recommendation then, Young Millionaires, Dee. Is that right?
Yes. It's a new French series, 8 episodes, that is available now on Netflix. It's from Iger Goetzmann. So he's done a lot with Netflix in France, and he's back with this new series, Young Millionaires. People might be familiar with them if they caught Family Business, which was another Netflix show. It was a very kind of funny, absurdist comedy about a kosher butcher shop, family owned, that turns into a cannabis dispensary. So that was really, really good. Okay. This is the latest from him. It's kind of part of a real surge that was happening a few years ago, I think, that came out of the extraordinary success of Call My Agent.
Oh yeah, that was super.
Where Netflix realised that there was a huge audience in English-speaking regions for French material, and worse to the point, French comedy, because it's not something French cinema, you know, has particularly been internationally known for. Although there's loads of great examples.
I think we think we feel more sophisticated at the end
well,
of an episode, even though it could be completely base.
We get our jokes.
Oh yeah,
you know?
Yeah.
Like, but yeah, it's you know, and there's loads of great French comedy that you can find actually on Netflix. So if you don't like Young Millionaires, I'd urge people to check out The Hookup Plan, which is a dreadful title for a really sweet and funny show. There's also a brilliant one called Huge in France, where Gad Elmaleh plays himself as a comedian who is huge in France.
Okay.
You have to move to LA. Jerry Seinfeld's in it. And that's kind of French and English mixed. And then you've got really good series like Lupin and The Mantis, which are more thriller based. So loads of great stuff there. But I would check out this Young Millionaires one as well.
All right. There's 8 episodes. It's on Netflix. Now, Operation Dark Phone, Murder by Text.
Oh, yeah.
So Richard Osman has been raving about this on the podcast, you know, The Rest Entertainment. He loves it. So tell me about it.
Like, it was on Channel 4, but now the Channel 4 app, streamer app, which is not All 4, it's Channel 4 just called, which is really confusing. So basically the so it's a true crime docuseries, 4 episodes, and all the, back in the, again, COVID times, all the criminal gangs were using a cell service that was encrypted and no one could get, it was only for them. But then the cops all across Europe cracked the code, they hacked it. So they were in watching this. So basically, this is 74 days of all like Netherlands and Germany and France and the UK. So they're all got, they don't have, it's not their real name. So it's like John Doe is the name of one of the, you know, so they don't know who they are, but they can read all their texts. But it's also 48 hours delayed. So there's this whole race against time to figure out who they are, figure out what, because they're all posting pictures of drugs and guns and buying stuff. And,
yeah.
But, and it's them trying to figure out who
and
they are.
And them on holidays. Mm. But their kids going to school.
But this is the amazing thing, because they're all
sorry, wrong group.
So aware of themselves that they're taking pictures of their muscles. They're on the beach beside a coastline, and the cops are zooming in the coastline and they see something. So there's little things like that.
Yes.
They're actually, but they don't know they're being watched. So it's all things like that. You're like, of course you're watching, go, no, don't do that. Like, but this is real life and they're doing it and they're going, okay, so this guy, so who's this other guy? And it's just this whole kind of built up. And
yes,
as you know, and they know as you get towards the end, they know the 74 days, it's just, they just know they're about to be rumbled and they have to crack who these people are, and they're kind of figuring it out. And then I loved it. I thought it was great. I binged the 4 of them back to back. And if you love this sort of thing, like, it is just absolutely like, oh my God, I can't believe they cracked this. But no, highly recommended. Just edge your seat kind of. But just watching the criminals do stuff, that if it was a movie, you go, ah, now that's a bit obvious. But this is like, oh no, this is real life. Because they do this spring thing where they dramatise it as well. So they have the guys working out. And then once you figure out who a person is, their character will change to their real face and it actually looks exactly like them. You're going, oh my God.
Yeah.
But a lot of them go to the gym. I figured that out, but sure, we know that.
Yeah. Operation Dark Phone, Murder by Text. So it's on the Channel 4 streaming service, which is called Channel 4. D-Ready, podcaster, cultural commentator, David Callan from the Here and Back Again podcast. Thank you both very much. Off the Baller up next. I'll be back tomorrow at 4.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.